Good. We're going to continue this morning our journey in the book, the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, and we've been looking at this book. We've heard, haven't we, how Nehemiah responded to the challenge that was before him of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And in many ways, Nehemiah could have turned away from that challenge. It wasn't really his problem, but he knew that God was calling him to do something. To restore the walls of the city, restore the walls that protected God's people in that city. And so we heard how Nehemiah responded to the call and set out and did something about the problem that was facing him. And then we've heard how everything fell into place for Nehemiah. The people were there that he needed, the resources were there that he needed. But you know, following God's will doesn't always mean that everything goes completely smoothly. And we heard how Nehemiah faced persecution, how he was facing threats, even from the enemies around him. We finished chapter 4 last week. And as we finished that chapter, the builders were having to work with their shovels in one hand and a sword in the other hand, facing attack from the enemies. We come now today to chapter 5, and I'm just going to read from verses 1 to 8. So Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. Now the men and their wives raised a great outcry against their fellow Jews. Some were saying, "We and our sons and our daughters are numerous. In order for us to eat and stay alive, we must get grain." Others were saying, "We are mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and our homes to get grain during the famine." And still others were saying, "We have had to borrow money to pay the king's tax on our fields and vineyards." Although we are the same flesh and blood as our fellow Jews, and though our children are as good as theirs, yet we have to subject our sons and daughters to slavery. Some of our daughters have already been enslaved, but we are powerless because our fields and our vineyards belong to others. Nehemiah says, "When I heard their outcry and these charges, I was very angry. I pondered them in my mind and accused the nobles and officials. I told them, 'You are charging your own people interest.' So I called together a large meeting to deal with them and said, 'As far as possible, we have brought back our fellow Jews who were sold to the Gentiles. Now you are selling your own people only for them to be sold back to us.' They kept quiet because they could find nothing to say." You see, here was the problem. People were going hungry. As the work on the wall continued and as the threats from the enemy mounted, supplies of grain were drying up. And stones and bricks and rubble are great for building walls, but you can't eat them. You can't feed them to your children. And some of those who worked were having to mortgage their fields to release some cash so that they could buy grain. Others were having to borrow money to pay the taxes that the king, the Persian king, Artaxerxes, was levying on them. Because even though the king had allowed his people to return from exile, even though the king had allowed his people to go and build this wall, he still expected them to pay taxes to him. Landowners had mortgaged their property just in order to buy food. Inflation was on the rise, prices were going up, and people were even having their homes repossessed by the money lenders. Another group complained that the taxes were too high. People were forced to borrow money that they could ill afford. Perhaps the most difficult words that we read in those few verses there, verse 5, where it said, although we are the same flesh and blood as our fellow Jews, and though our children are as good as theirs, yet we have to subject our sons and daughters to slavery. The greatest pain of all, having to send their children to work for other families and in other households. You see, we've got a picture there, haven't we, of people caught in spiraling debt. Debt that left them powerless. Debt that left them hungry. Debt that led even to the breakup of families. And the extortion, the high interest charges, were not being made by the enemy. It was from the wealthy within their own community, from their own flesh and blood. This was God's people exploiting God's people. Now, Jesus was at once asked, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus replied to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Jesus said the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that pattern, that greatest commandment has always been God's greatest commandment for his people. A rule that shapes everything and should shape everything that we do and everything that we are. And if you were an outsider looking in on this building project, Nehemiah and all the others, you might have easily thought, wow, these people are so devoted to this project, so devoted to their God. Look at what they've given up. Look at the rebuilding work that's going on. Look at their commitment. But scratch below the surface, and what do we see? We see greed. We see exploitation. We see those who are making money on the back of others' misfortune. You know, as God's people, as the followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to be the good news to people around us. Not just to preach the good news, not just to say the good news, but to be the good news, to live out the good news of God's love to those around us. And you know, wonder, perhaps that can be a challenge to us sometimes. I mean, we can fairly easily make sure that the right kind of message is preached from the pulpit. We can make sure that we sing the right kind of songs and hymns in our services. But for those looking in from the outside, our church and all churches, what do they see? Where do they see the good news of Jesus Christ being lived out? As people look at us, what do they see in us? What do they see in us that points them towards Jesus? What does it mean to love God and to love others? Nehemiah knew that however important rebuilding the city walls was, it would be a worthless exercise unless the hearts of the people were in the right place. However splendid the wall might look, it would mean nothing unless the people lived lives that gave honor and glory to God. You see, here was a people who had been given another chance by God. They were a people who by God's grace, they had been allowed to return from exile. When Nehemiah thought of all that God had given to them, and then he saw how the people were treating each other, says in verse 6 that he was angry. Not just angry, but it says he was very angry. That anger leads to action. Let's read again. We're going to read from verse 9 of Nehemiah chapter 5.
So I continued.
What you are doing is not right. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of our God to avoid the reproach of our Gentile enemies? I and my brothers, my men are also lending the people money and grain. But let us stop charging interest. Give back to them immediately their fields, vineyards, olive groves, and houses, and also the interest you are charging them. 1% of the money, grain, new wine, and olive oil.
We will give it back, they said.
And we will not demand anything more from them. We will do as you say. And I summoned the priests and made the nobles and officials take an oath to do what they had promised. I also shook out the folds of my robe and said, in this way, may God shake out of their house and possessions anyone who does not keep this promise. So may a person be shaken out and emptied.
At this, the whole assembly said, Amen. Praise the Lord, and the people did as they had promised.
Nehemiah was angry. But what did he do with that anger? Did he lash out in rage? No, his reaction was to think things through. He thought about how he was going to respond to this situation. But it also noticed that it doesn't say that Nehemiah saw the poverty and saw the injustice and became angry about it and then did nothing. Because sometimes that's the easy route, isn't it? Seeing injustice, seeing people struggling and doing nothing. Nehemiah took another route. He challenged people. He challenged those who were lending the money at extortionate rates. He called the people together and said, look what we're doing to each other. Shouldn't we be walking in fear of our God together? Shouldn't we be setting an example of what it's like to live as followers, God's people? But instead, we're exploiting each other. And he didn't just point the finger at others. Nehemiah acknowledged his own part in this. He says, verse 10, I and my brothers and my men are also lending people. He realizes that everyone's caught up in this. Instead of trying to cover it up, instead, let's do something about it. End of verse 10, let us stop charging interest. Verse 11, give to them back immediately their fields, vineyards, olive groves, and houses, and also the interest you are charging. And as Nehemiah pointed this out to the people, it's suddenly as if they saw what they were really like. They saw the injustice. They saw that they had been wrong in the way that they had been treating each other. And they agreed to live a different way. We will give it back. We won't demand anything more from them. They became a people who were exploiting each other. And taking from each other to becoming a people who are ready to give and support each other. Make this promise before God to live a different way, to live a way that will speak of God's love and God's provision. Because that's what God called his people to be, a people who are different to the world around them, people who lived in a way that reflected God's character. God's calling upon them to live in truth, to live with justice and righteousness, to see the needs of people around us and to be ready to do something about it, to live in a way that God wants us to live, because the world will notice that. I don't think the call to God's people has changed at all, has it? Since that call came to Nehemiah. And for each one of us, and for us as a church, and for the church around the world, we are always called to be looking outward, seeking out those places where people are treated with injustice, seeking out those who are living in poverty and struggling with the circumstances that they are facing in their lives, ready to respond, ready to give, ready to welcome, ready to speak out against injustice. That's the call to each one of us, whoever we are and wherever we are. Now, I can remember from a long time ago when I was a member of a Boys Brigade company growing up. And every year we would go for a week away on a summer camp, you know, all about camps and things like that. Well, we would go on a summer camp and it was, we went to places like to North Wales and Swanage and the Isle of Wight. There's places like that. Not luxury holidays, but a good time together. But to help us to pay for the camp, we would pay a little bit each week through the year. You'd have a book where you'd record your payments. So you'd pay as you went through the year. And I'll always remember one of my friends who was in the company with me, and I'll use the name Billy. He wasn't called Billy, but I'll use the name Billy. But Billy was from a big family. And I can always remember asking Billy, are you going to come to camp this year? And Billy would say, oh, no, I don't think so. Maybe another time, but I won't come this year. And, of course, I had no idea that for Billy and his family, there was only just about enough money for them to get through each week having something to eat. That was the situation that they lived in. There was only enough money just to buy the clothes and the uniform that they needed for school. And there certainly wasn't enough money left over to pay for a week's camp with the Boys Brigade. So on the day that we set off for camp, it was a real surprise to me that Billy turned up with his suitcase and got on the coach with us. Of course, it was only some years later when I was a leader in that Boys Brigade company that I realized that someone else had paid for Billy to go to camp. And someone else paid for Billy to go to camp every year when he was in the Boys Brigade. And it wasn't just Billy, but there are a number of others. And that story could have been repeated many times, where someone had paid the money out of their own pocket so that they could go to camp. And that to me was a lesson, an example of God's love in action. Very simple way, perhaps, in a way that actually nobody really knew about, but a way of responding to the needs of those around us. Because you see, we can say the right things, and we can even sing the right things, but God also calls us to do the right things, to give as we are called to give, to speak out against injustice and unfairness as we are called to welcome the stranger, to encourage and draw alongside those who are struggling. Nehemiah lived in a way that spoke to others about who his God was and what his God was like.